Blog Talk Radio.
The 2010 Our Common Ground Kwanzaa Kamuru Habari Gani Umoja. Welcome to our celebration of the Nguza Saba, our past, our future, our now. This is Our Common Ground.
Joining us in the first day of Kwanzaa, Habari Gani, Umoja, Harambe. I'm Janice Graham, and this is Our Common Ground. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We're going to be celebrating. This is a celebration, Kamaru, which means celebration in the Kiswahili language, and Kwanzaa, which means the first fruits of the harvest. We're going to be celebrating, joining in the usual rituals that we engage in here at Our Common Ground tonight, and we think that you will want to know more about Kwanzaa, to celebrate more deeply in Kwanzaa. Let me first tell you that it is worthwhile to learn about the festivals that we celebrate And learning about Kwanzaa is all the more important as it was created for a specific purpose. And that is protecting our cultures and our traditions as a black people. Kwanzaa is an African-American celebration of cultural reaffirmation. It is a holiday in the history of the world. It took root back in 1967 when a young graduate student by the name of Maulana Karinga, who was terribly disturbed by the 1965 riots in Los Angeles in the Watts area, decided that African Americans needed some kind of annual event to celebrate their differences rather than to try and continue to be part of a melting pot where they become invisible. It's not a religious holiday. Kwanzaa is a seven-day celebration that begins on December 26th and continues through January 1st. And there are guiding principles which have been established by Dr. Maulana Karinga, who we will hear from later on in this broadcast. And we will talk about those principles that we celebrate their meaning and their concept in our lives each of the 7 days of the Kwanzaa season. Kwanzaa is a spiritual, a festive, and joyous celebration of oneness and goodness of life. And, of course, we want to have you join with us at 347-838-9852. Alpha, my co-host, will be joining us shortly. I think that he is probably stuck in the snowstorm somewhere trying to get to the studios. And we want to hear how you celebrate Kwanzaa, how you know about Kwanzaa. The other thing I do want to say to our listening audience tonight is we hope that you are enjoying the celebrations of the holidays. Kwanzaa is not in contradiction to Christmas. It is not a religious holiday. It is a cultural week where we celebrate that which we bring to our communities, our families. It is something that we use to lift us up. You're listening to Our Common Ground, and this is the beginning of the Kwanzaa season. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa, 2010, and this is our Karamu, our celebration. In the second hour, we're going to be taking your calls as well, because one of the rituals of the Kwanzaa celebration is to call on our ancestors, to remember those who have built the bridges that have brought us safely across. And we'll be taking your calls. I'm sure that you have many members of your family who have transitioned, and you would be willing to share with us your celebration of them as now a new ancestor. Also, starting off in this broadcast, we want to do a couple of things before we start the festivities. We want to shout out to Sister Marpessa, who some of you know as Natareb, who is in the hospital in Philadelphia, and we are sending her our goodwill, our best wishes for a speedy recovery, as well as the author, Jamal Ali, the author of the Heartfire Rendezvous trilogy, and he was with us week before last. We also want to confirm the news reports that you might have heard that the R&B artist Tina Marie has died at age 54. So we will get started. Good evening, Alpha. How are you? Habari Ghani.
Habari Ghani, Janice, and happy Kwanzaa, and all of those words that I really can't pronounce. It's a pleasure to join you.
This gives us an opportunity for our audience to understand how this goes in the Kamaru and in the celebration of Kwanzaa. Each of the seven principles of the Nguzi Saba, are the guiding principles, is celebrated in each one of the days. And today, the first day of Kwanzaa, is the day of Umoja. Umoja means that, you probably heard our opening, the unity song. Umoja means unity, and it stresses the importance of togetherness for the family and the community, which is really reflected in an old African saying, which is, I am we, or I am because we are. So tonight is the night of Umoja. And what we do in Kwanzaa, during the Kwanzaa season, is we say Habari Gani, which means, how goes it? How are you doing? How did the year go? How did the harvest come? And we answer by saying, using the concept or what the principle of one of the seven principles, whatever day it is. Like today is Umoja, so we would answer, if I said to you, Alpha, Habari Gani, and you would say Umoja, and I would say Harambe, which means that is so good. So that's how it goes. Habari Gani, whatever the principle is, and tonight we're celebrating the principle of Umoja, which is the first day of Kwanzaa, which means unity. And you would say Umoja, and whoever asked the question, how goes it, Habari Gani, then you would answer by saying Umoja. And we're going to go through all of the principles of the Nguzi Saba, because I think that these are the kinds of principles. If we understand these concepts, they can be uplifting and empowering for us throughout the year. 423, we see you're on the air. We'll take your call right after this. Alpha, we're going to go into our celebration. Habari Gani, Umoja, Harambe, welcome to the 2010 Kwanzaa Karamu at Our Common Ground. Is an African-American celebration of cultural reaffirmation. It is a spiritual, festive, and joyous celebration of the oneness and goodness of life, which claims no tie to any religion. Kwanzaa means first fruits of the harvest, and we celebrate it December 26th, January 1st, basing it on the celebrations of seven guiding principles, the Nguzi Saba, Habari Gani. This is our common ground. Thank you. here we are, Habari Gani Alpha. Alpha, do you actually celebrate Kwanzaa at home?
No. Actually, no.
I tell you, I think Kwanzaa, well, for me, Kwanzaa is a very special, meaningful holiday. I want to talk a little about the history. Dr. Milana Coringa, who is professor and chairman of the Black Studies program at California State University in Long Beach, created Kwanzaa in 1966, and it was right after the Watts riots. And for those of you who are just joining us, the name Kwanzaa is derived from the phrase Matunda ya Kwanzaa, Matunda ya Kwanzaa, which means first fruits in Swahili. And it caught my attention as a very young activist and as a student. I was in my freshman year in college, and most of us, we were just so excited about having this way of celebrating how different we were as a people, and the contributions that we made as a people. And it was it was different. Now, this was a time when, keep in mind that most of us were, as college students, were coming from the South. We were struggling around a lot of things. And most of the things having to do with identity. And there, it was such a welcome to be able to have something that was our own. Now, during the Kwanzaa season, we celebrate the principles, which I mentioned before, are called the Nguza Saba, seven principles. It means seven principles. And there is a candle lighting ceremony each evening, which provides the opportunity to gather with your family and your community and discuss the meaning of Kwanzaa. As a matter of fact, because we are in the middle of a Northeaster, the Boston Kwanzaa celebration that was to be held at the John Hope House has been postponed until tomorrow night. On the first night of Kwanzaa, which is the night of Umoja, the black candle, which is in the center of the candle holder, which is called the Kamala. It's not the same thing as what you see used by Jewish people. It has seven candles. The Jewish candelabra has eight places for candles. And much of what we do during the celebrations includes songs and dances, African drums, storytelling, poetry reading, and large traditional meals. And what generally happens is on each of the seven nights, the family or the community gathers, and a child lights one of the candles on the Kanara, one of the candles which represents the seven principles, the Nguza Saba. And I want to review with you both the seven principles and the seven symbols tonight, because there are many people in our audience who really haven't as you've indicated, Alpha, ritualized Kwanzaa. For instance, my granddaughter is named for the seventh night of Kwanzaa. And we also want to take your comments at 347-838-9852 about what Kwanzaa means for you, whether it is important or whether you're confused by some of it. We take your questions. I have been celebrating Kwanzaa since 1966.
There you go, Jim.
Before there was the internet, before there were phone calls without charges, because it moved like wildfire in the black student community. And I remember, Alpha, the first year that we celebrated Kwanzaa, we didn't have a clue. We were just whatever. All I knew is I saw the seven principles and knew that they were important. I just knew that they were important. One of the things that I want to share with you are some of the things that underscores our need to have this kind of ritual participation, which is uplifting to our people. Maya Angelou had this to say about Kwanzaa. She said, "We all should know that diversity makes for a rich tapestry, and we must understand that all the threads of the tapestry are equal in value, no matter what their color." And I think that really encapsulizes the true meaning of what this holiday has to offer, not only in our community, but in communities across the nation. There have been, over the last 30 years, many other countries that have ritualized Kwanzaa during this time. And I think that one of the things that we need to do is to really understand it and how rich these principles are. Let me go through the Nguza Saba, which are the seven principles, seven guiding principles, one for each day of the observation. Tonight we are celebrating Umoja. Unity stresses the importance of togetherness.
Janice?
Tomorrow night, the second night of Kwanzaa, Kujichakalia, which means self-determination.
Janice?
The third night of Kwanzaa, we celebrate Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility, reminding us of our obligation to the past, the present, and future. The fourth night of Kwanzaa, we celebrate Ujamaa, cooperative economics. The fifth night, Nia, which means purpose. The sixth night, Kuumba, which means creativity, making use of our creative energies to build and maintain a strong and vibrant community. And the final night of Kwanzaa, the seventh night, Imani, which means faith, focusing on honoring the best of our traditions. And it draws upon the best in ourselves and helps us to strive for a higher level of humankind. I just think that is the most beautiful thing that ever there is. Alpha, what do you think?
Janice,
oh, you need a link.
I need a link.
A link to what?
You know, when you run down the 7 days and the words behind them, you know, I'm having trouble with Habari Gani. I'm having trouble with you most. Because, I mean, like I have trouble with, you know, some of the names that you are familiar with, and they simply don't stick in my head. you spoke of, you know, when you became interested in Kwanzaa, and it was, you know, mid-60s. Well, at this point, it's like, if you have never gotten interested in it, and I became, more acutely aware of it last year when we spoke, when we, you know, went through this same ritual. But it just seems that it all went in one ear and came out the other because of the difficulty. It seems like you're trying to learn a foreign language, or at least recognize it. And that's where I have
difficulty. I am posting a link in the chat room of the official Kwanzaa celebration website, which is maintained by Dr. Milana Koringa. You know, Alpha, a lot of politics goes into so much of what we do. And after Dr. Koringa really started formalizing the rituals and the information about Kwanzaa, because of some of the politics that he had been involved in, many people tried to deny his place in the history of Kwanzaa, which is so, you can't do it. You can't talk about Kwanzaa without talking about Dr. Milana Koringa. And people tried to remove him from discussions of Kwanzaa. And I personally think, in the spirit of Umoja, unity, that we cannot do that. That despite whatever, you know, it's just like people were trying to say that he was a spy for the FBI undercover. They're trying to say that about Elaine Brown. I mean, but at some point we have to stop and say, no matter what this is about, this is worthy. And I will always, I mean, I never try to bother him during the Kwanzaa season because I know that he is very busy. And I should try to get him to our common ground. But I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, when I was reading the Heart Fires Rendezvous, Jamal Ali's book, and I hope he's listening tonight from his hospital bed. He was feeling a little better. He's been in the hospital since Tuesday, and it looks like he might go home Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. And I had to have him send me a pronunciation chart for some of the stuff in his book in order for me to really connect with it, so I knew that I was pronouncing them right, and with the pronouncement I could better connect with the story. I understand exactly what you're saying. I find it very, very hard, even in my own family, to get people concentrated. When Imani was very small, she was very excited about Kwanzaa. Miles has done his Kwanzaa studying, and that's all he wants to do. When he was real little, they loved lighting the candles and being part of our family gathering and having speeches. And last year, Miles, my grandson, had to learn two parts of two major speeches, one by Malcolm X and one by Martin Luther King, and he also had to talk about Miles Davis and Langston Hughes, for whom he is named. So that's how we work in our family, but my mother, no matter how many times I try to tell her this is not religious, she still wants no part of it. But she's 85 years old. So I do understand. You can reach us at 347-838-9832. 8.52 to talk about Kwanzaa, to talk about how you celebrate it, what your what makes it attractive to you, or what makes you keep your distance or not participate, or your questions about how you can have your own family gatherings around Kwanzaa. I think, Alpha, you have made made a very good point. These are not familiar kinds of things. But, you know, I'm looking in the chat room right now, and the Voxor has hooked on to the phrase Habari Gani, and she's been asking and she's been greeting everyone who comes into the chat room with Habari Gani, and I want to join her in saying Habari Gani to Denise Bowles and the Don and the Voxor, and of course to you as well, Alpha. And, you know, one of the things we're going to, and to YJ. YJ is in the chat room, and now he's not in the chat room. But we want to welcome all of our listeners, and especially those who are in the chat room. And if you'd like to join us in the chat room, you can come to blogtalkradio.com/OCG. And if I sound kind of funny, or you hear a noise, it's not me. It's this storm raging on the outside and pulling pulling our house a little bit. Our house is rumbling. Before we listen to Dr. Milana Karinga talking about why we should celebrate as a people Kwanzaa, I want to go to 423 and check you out. Habari Gani, you're at the Our Common Ground, Kamaru. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Greetings. This is Khalifa.
Sister Khalifa, how are you? Habari Gani, my sister.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so Harambe. I'm so glad to be here because the last Kwanzaa celebration I attended was with my grandchildren in Pasadena when they were when they went to their Afrocentric private schools. And that's when I got acquainted with the principals, and I think it's very important that we have a celebration and a ceremony together at this time. And the lighting of lights, if you've heard my show, and I've been talking about the candlesticks and the Elohim and the lights and how important the ritual of candlelight and is. It has to do with our chakra system and the energy that's resonating inside us. And it's just so very important. I don't have that much to say because I want to hear what you have to say.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, in 1972, they had that big Rots, 1971, they had a big Rots, another Rots problem. And in 1972, I had a cousin, my first cousin was murdered by the police in his bed after he had returned home to go to sleep after attending one of that last concert. And so it got to be to where this celebration meant a lot to me because it was our people coming together and deciding we're going to have something that is our own and we're going to continue to relight our lights. We're not going to allow our lights to go out for anybody, anytime, under any circumstances. So I want to thank you for having us today. And my oldest, my daughter's oldest son is here. We're snowed in, and we're listening. And
where are you?
We're on Lookout Mountain in Georgia.
Wow.
The overseer used to be. We're here overseeing now.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, Sister Khalifa, we wish you a rich and uplifting Kwanzaa holiday.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for your call and for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Khalifa.
That, you see, it's some of these things become very important. Before we hear, and we thank Sister Khalifa for her call, and before we take more calls and before we go into this, I do want to go into the what we call the Kush Shangala, which is the rejoicing. Every Kwanzaa holiday ought to start with this. And in our family, we use the libation statement, which is the Tamshila Tambiko, and it is a tradition of pouring libation. And we begin our Kwanzaa opening, which is on the first night of Kwanzaa, with the libation statement for the motherland cradle, the cradle of civilization. So we pour libation for the ancestors and their indomitable spirit. We pour this libation for the elders from whom we can learn much. We pour this libation for our youth who represent the promise for tomorrow. We pour this libation for our people, the original people. We pour this libation for our struggle and in remembrance of those who have struggled on our behalf. We pour this libation for Umoja, the principle of unity which should guide us in all that we do. We pour this libation for the Creator who provides all things great and small. Now, when we pour libation, we do so as a spiritual commitment to the Nguza Saba. The Nguza Saba are the seven principles, and I'm going to be posting them in our chat room if for those of you who are unfamiliar with the seven principles. And there they are in our chat room: Umoja, Huja Jakalia, Ujima, Ujama, Nia, and then we will post the rest of them, Kumba and Imani. And we hope that you will really take a look at the official website so that you can, please, Alpha, is that you?
Well, that post,
the official website.
That's not the official. That's a different website that has the principles listed and the pronunciation and the meaning and just, I mean.
I understand. You want me to go back through them again?
No, I got them in front of me now.
It's called the principles, the seven guiding principles, are called the Nguza Saba. And I'm going to post that word as well in our chat room so that people become familiar with that as well. And while we're listening to a clip that we have available to you with Dr. Milana Karinga, I will post the meaning of each one of the guiding principles of the Nguza Saba.
Kwanzaa is a Pan-African and African-American holiday that is a celebration of family, community, and culture. It is often organized around seven fundamental principles, and is a seven-day holiday that begins from December the 26th and goes through January 1st. And it's 7 days to, in fact, teach the seven principles, okay, which are in Swahili and then in English: Umoja, unity; Kujichagulia, self-determination; Ujima, collective work and responsibility; Ujamaa, cooperative economics, near purpose, Kumba creativity, and Imani faith. And so I created Kwanzaa for three basic reasons. First, to reaffirm our rootedness in African culture. Because even though we are African people, due to the Holocaust of enslavement, we were lifted out of our own history and made a footnote and forgotten casualty in European history. And so the struggle we were waging, as Cabral said, is to return to our history and to use it to enrich and expand our lives. Secondly, I have created Kwanzaa in order to give us a time when we as African people all over the world could come together, reaffirm the bonds between us, and meditate on the meaning and awesome responsibility of being African in the world. And certainly it has flowered because of that, because if you look at how it has grown, over 28 million people celebrate this holiday on every continent in the world, throughout the world African community. And the third reason I created Kwanzaa was to introduce and reinforce the importance of African culture and African communitarian values. And by communitarian values, I mean values that stress and strengthen family, community, and culture. These are our strengths. And at the hub and hinge on which this holiday turns, of course, and the central values are Nguzo Saba, which we said earlier, are Umoja unity, Kujichagulia self-determination, Ujima collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa cooperative economics, Nia purpose, Kumba creativity, and Imani faith.
Take your calls about what might be, you know, some of us have our special, also, you know, like there are people in my family who really take one of the seven principles a lot more seriously than the others. And I think that if we apply all seven of them to the notion of what we do in our daily lives, how we manage our families, you know, how we think about the things that go on around us. You know, sometimes I have to use some of these principles to talk myself down on certain things. You know, my anger, my fast to anger, sometimes I have to use it to the whole notion of imani, to anchor myself. I mean, you can't say you have faith and always be all upset and angry with folks and stuff. You know what I mean? We've got some other calls. 610. Alpha, do you know what I mean?
I understand with you what you mean. I understand it. Absolutely.
I mean, I look at the seven principles and think about it. It's the common sense kind of moral parenting and instruction and guidance that we need to give our children, that every adult should be grounded in the notion of if you take Black liberation seriously, if you take your activism seriously, if you take your spiritual place in the universe seriously, you cannot dismiss not one of these principles. You just can't. Let's go to 610. You're on the air. Habari Ghani.
And Habari Ghani and Hotep to you and the listening audience. This is Brother Brock.
Umoja Harambe, Brother Brock. I'm so glad to hear from you tonight.
And you as well as not in the chat room, but either way, I'm respecting the brothers and sisters that are always there. I'm always here on the phone listening as much as possible. Right now I'm putting in a little work hours. We're plowing some snow because we're getting some snow out here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Ron Karenge, I got the email that he is in Philadelphia with attorney Michael Cord for the Kwanzaa celebration.
Tomorrow night,
normally
right?
Does come. I believe it's tonight, the 26th, so it should be today. Should be tonight.
Okay.
I'm at work now, so I couldn't get
I
there.
I heard he was going to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I've listened to him and been to his celebrations about three times in the last 5 years, I guess it has been. So I guess this will be the 6th year, so I'll be there for 3 out of the 6 since I'm at work now and can't make it to this one. But I have been following it. I wish that more, I'll call them superstars, entertainers, activists would get on board to promote it, because generally speaking, as the entertainers go, so does the following audience. So whether it's athletes or entertainers or literary people, usually we need leaders to follow. So if more people on that caliber was to get involved with Kwanzaa, I think the grassroots people would follow. I could be wrong, but we celebrated through the NAACP in my town, and it doesn't grow because I guess so many grassroots organizations have limited funding and the resources are a little smaller, but the sincerity is there, and I wish it would grow a little more. I do know, just like you said with your mom, how she didn't support it. Nobody in my family supports it, and I wish they would. So I don't force it on them, just like I don't force my activists or protests on them. I just say, hey, maybe they'll wake up and be enlightened. Maybe, it took me a few years to get enlightened. Hopefully they'll follow.
It's really interesting. I have an adult daughter who is 34.
Okay.
And because she grew up participating in Kwanzaa, because she went to an African-centered early education program, Kwanzaa is just part of her.
That's
so
right.
It's a natural progression during the season to do something. She takes her children. I think it's very important for us to go to community Kwanzaa celebrations. And we generally join the community on the first night of Kwanzaa, and then we have various celebrations during the 7 days. And the night of Imani is a day that we really celebrate family. And my granddaughter Imani, in the last 3 years, has been in charge of that celebration because she was named for that particular day. And I think you do have to have it as part. Now, I do have family members who might not support it, but because we have dinner together every night of Kwanzaa, no matter what people are doing, no matter what it is, it could be a pizza. You have to be together at least by 5 to 7 o'clock on each night of Kwanzaa, in the same way that you would go, for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever you're doing. So, and the kids do make gifts. We have a family member that has been estranged from the family up until this holiday. And the kids are putting together, everybody has donated some photos of things that she has missed. She's been living out of the country and has just decided to, kind of isolate herself from the family for whatever reasons. But they're putting together a picture scrapbook for her of all the holidays that she missed and baby pictures and all that stuff, because she's been gone something like 18 years. And we had a family member who was in prison for 5 years, and one of the Kwanzaa projects during the Kwanzaa season was for us all to get together and put together photographs and a big card and stuff where everybody signs it while my cousin was in prison. So, you know, Kwanzaa does some things for a family, and that's one of the things, Brother Brock, that I think we have to, we really have to kind of underscore, that it is a time where, you know, no matter who you're angry with or who you're having a fight with in the family, I know that I have one day, and it's the day of Ujima.
Okay.
Where all the people I'm upset with about something, and I haven't told them how I feel about it. On that day, I make those phone calls or write those emails. So it gives a family an opportunity to liberate itself into the meaning of family. It also allows people to, you know, like on one day of Kwanzaa, where you have an NAACP or an Urban League or a community organization that's really important, that is not working well, and you work in that organization. I think during the Kwanzaa season, it's when you make the 10 calls and say, hey, we need your membership at the NAACP, or we need whatever it is. We need you
okay,
to
I see.
Commit to
I see
the
what
community.
You're saying now. Yeah, I see what you're saying
yeah,
now. Yeah, that's
it,
perfect. Timing is that's good timing.
Timing is everything.
Timing, yep.
Yes. You know, so, you know, I just think that it is an avenue. It is an opportunity for liberation on a lot of fronts.
That's right, it is.
When
okay.
When I did my libation with my family today, one of the things that really came up for me is how we are allowing the people in the Bush administration
to
get
away with
waging a war that was illegal and based on lies, and we've allowed the media to tell us it doesn't matter.
I'm going to have to hang up and listen in the background, so I got to keep plowing this snow.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Brock, and Aborigani. Now that's another word. Thank you so very much for joining us. Hotep. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with the word Aborigani, it is simply a word which means I embrace you. I am happy in you. I'm going to type the word in the chat room so that it's Aborigani, and it means victory. Literally, it is victory. Alpha, see, that's I don't know if you got what I was meaning when I was talking about the opportunities for family and communities to really kind of come together on during the Kwanzaa season.
Well, Janice, what I've gotten, it's one thing to embrace the language, and when you break down the words, the you know in their native tongue. I'm really moved to exactly what do they mean, and I say, what do they mean in English? And I use
mm-hmm,
it like
mm-hmm.
that because it would help me. It will help me relate to the word better.
Mm-hmm,
if I can, you know, tie the word to the meaning, and
mm-hmm.
it's a thing of repetition.
Yeah.
I just have to keep at it, keep doing it, because it's It's foreign to me, really.
Yeah. Well, that's true about all foreign languages. And one of the things we want people to know that Kwanzaa is a Pan-African celebration of heritage and culture and family and community. And the principles and the manner of observing the holiday lift up some very traditional values that we already have that are key in our lives, but we forget. And one of the things that I think that during the 70s that was a big thing as a result of Kwanzaa was that black children were really trying to learn some of the languages of the motherland. And Kwanzaa started that push to learn Swahili, for instance, to really get into the notion of being able to connect more with our African roots. And that was very important. It was very important. We want to be able to use whatever tools that we have. For instance, there are still a lot of things that we don't know. For instance, the tablecloth and the black national flag, the bandera, is one of the things that we use, the symbols and significant symbols associated with Kwanzaa. The mkeka, which is a straw mat, and it symbolizes our African traditions and history. The kanara, which we talked about earlier, is a candle holder for seven candles, and it symbolizes the continent of Africa, our place of origin and roots. And when putting the candles in the kanara, there are three red candles, and they're placed on the left, and three green candles, which are placed on the right, and there's a single black candle that is placed in the center and is the candle which is lit tonight on the night of Umoja. And on each day of Kwanzaa, a new candle is lit as a symbol of the Nguza Saba or symbol of that day. And the candles are lit in alternating colors. First the black candle, then the farthest left candle, red candle, then the farthest green candle. And these are all lessons. I mean, when you're putting together your celebration of Kwanzaa, it's really an opportunity to begin to have, especially with children, to begin to have them identify with something that is truly unique and cultural that they have. You know, we talk do a lot of talking about our children don't have anything. They have a history. They have a culture. Then the seven candles, by the way, is called the Mishuma Saba. That's the seven candles. And then there is the crop, the mazeo, which is the, you can use corn. We use corn and we just buy what's called Indian corn. That's the purple corn, purple and black and brown corn that you can find, and we use lots of gourds and squashes that you can put, ears of corn, the muhindi, or vibunzi. And then there's the unity cup that you use for libation, and it symbolizes the first principle of Kwanzaa, and it's which is the kikombi cha, Umoja. And then there are the gifts, the zawadis, gifts that symbolize the key role of education and culture in Kwanzaa. These are all things that are used, and it gives you an opportunity. For instance, in my third or fourth year of celebrating Kwanzaa, when I really got it right, I was home in West Palm Beach with my parents, and I set up all the stuff, and I had to make substitutes and all the stuff, and of course you couldn't find any black candles, and you know, you, I ended up wrapping the candle in some black material, and it gave me an opportunity to give my parents the freedom and the opportunity to talk about their history. And some things I heard on that first Kwanzaa that I celebrated with them about our family and about what they knew that I had never heard before. The other is that it gives you so many opportunities to know, to get to know what you don't know about yourself and how you fit in to African American community and African American concerns. So I can't tell you how important I think this holiday, how critical it can be to the things that we know but we don't know. I did have a clip of Dr. Malana Karenga talking about Kujichagulia, which is one of my favorite days. Kujichagulia means, for those of you who didn't pick up on it, Kujichagulia means self-determination. And it's the second day of Kwanzaa. And on the day of Kujichagulia, we pledge as a people, I pledge as a person, to define ourselves, to name ourselves, to create for ourselves, and to speak for ourselves, instead of, as in the past, being defined, named by, created for, and spoken for by others. And on the day of Kujichagulia, we design for ourselves a positive future and then vow to make that prophecy, that dream, a self-fulfilling one. I'm so sorry that I messed up and didn't upload that file, because he does a powerful, powerful presentation. We're going to take a break, and our number is 347-838-9852. And when we come back, we'll continue our Karamu Kwanzaa 2010 here at Our Common Ground.
Of Kwanzaa. The first principle on the first day of Kwanzaa is umoja. You find something, you keep it handy, so you can light that first candle each day. Umoja. And we ask all that are in attendance to repeat after us. It's like a call and response. And when I light and say umoja, you say back to me umoja. I say unity, which is the English translation of the word umoja, unity. And what we ask is that everyone who is in attendance repeat after the lighter of the candle, the principle in Swahili and the principle in English. So it will go, umoja, umoja, unity, unity. And the meaning of that principle is to strive for and maintain togetherness in our family, community, nation, and race. Umoja, unity.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile. and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
We thank you for being here with us at Our Common Ground on this 2010 Our Common Ground Kwanzaa celebration. Alpha, how's your holiday going thus far?
Well, Dennis, let me put it like this. I'm not hungry. We take no prisoners at the dinner table. We take no prisoners. So, festive, yes. Encouraging, yes. And just glad to be able to share and enjoy the people that we love and the people who love us. So who could ask for anything more?
You're absolutely right. Who could ask for anything more? To be able to be with family and have an appreciation and understanding and an insightfulness about the things that are going on around us. We are at that point in our celebration of Kwanzaa that I think is probably one of the more meaningful things that we can do, activities that we can undertake in celebrating Kwanzaa, and that is what I call the call of the ancestors. And that is a time where we spend in looking at the people who have made it possible for us to be wherever we are, the people who have given us the foundation of our thinking, of our willingness to move beyond the everyday and the mundane, and give us and have given us a roadmap. While the origins of Kwanzaa is often misunderstood, and so it is its meaning, those who question and even criticize the beginnings of this creation should have an appreciation for looking back at family and looking back at what my good friend Dr. Julia here always says, those who have built the bridges that have brought us safely across. And in calling on the ancestors, one of the things that we do is to acknowledge those who have come before us, who struggled on our behalf, who had to make very, very, very hard choices because they could see the future where we could not see. They could see the future with us in it. And one of the things that we want to do here at Our Common Ground is to acknowledge those. And we're moving into that part of our program tonight, which will allow you to call 347-838-9852 and to call on your ancestors.
We ask that in this Kwanzaa season, we continue to be blessed by our ancestors. James Moody, Dr. Ronald E. Walters, Ambrose Lane, Brother Bill Jones, Hank Jones, Rena Horn, Ollie Woodson, Gary Scheider, Marvin Isley, Abby Lincoln, Al Goodman, Reverend Lucius Walker, Harold Dow, Albertina Walker, Solomon Burke, Shirley Verrett, Guru, Teddy Pendergrass, Eunice Johnson, Ron Banks, Dr. Dorothy Heights. We will never forget. We will always remember. And we will use the power of our ancestors to move forward, building new bridges that will take us safely across. I have just called the names of those who we all know who transitioned during the year 2010. Now we can begin to call on the power of our personal ancestors. 347-838-9852. 9852 to join the call of the ancestors. I call Burrington James Peak, Gladys Speed Peak, Wilfred Thompson, Elizabeth Blanche Jones, Grandmother Nora Wissanot, Grandmother Jones, Grandfather Peak. Join us in this call, 347-838-9852.
Alpha, it really is uplifting. And it's a powerful thing to remember people that, for instance, I always call on two grandfathers that I never knew. But because they have been valued ancestors, their stories have been carried forward, and so I call on them. And it's really interesting that over the years that we have had, we do our call of the ancestors on the night of Imani. And the children in our family ask us about these people who they have heard the name over and over and over, and they ask for about their stories. And it gives us an opportunity to really talk about people that we value. Our number is 347-838-9852. If you would like to call the name here at our Kamaru of Kwanzaa, the name of people who you have loved, who loved you enough to make the sacrifices and to do the struggle to bring us to the place where we are. Alpha?
You know, Janice, I can honestly say that I stand on the shoulders of strong black women, because throughout my life, there has never been a strong black man. I've always had strong black women. And but for those strong black women, I could have very easily taken a different path. I had a grandmother who constantly corrected my language, my speech, the words that I say, and she always followed it up with, so you won't be led astray and get used to the slang. And she said the slang was fine, but the slang was always an isolated, not something that I would casually do, but you couldn't survive on slang in the real world because it would marginalize you in a way. And I always had, you know, I really didn't like it, but as I grew older and as I grew wiser, I came to understand why. And that is what we must, I would have to say, carry to our children and our grandchildren. And when we do that, we do our job, and our job is simply to enlighten them, to afford them the information, to put the information out there. So they can't say they didn't know, they didn't hear it. And it will be up to them to whether they follow it, to whether they seize that opportunity to covet what is the past for them. It's my biggest fear that our youth, my children, my grandchildren, and now I have three great-grandchildren, they seem to be dismissive or not take it as, you know, they just take it with a grain of salt. And for the elderly of us. But for us goes our history. So we have an obligation to pass this knowledge on and to make it, you know, folklore within our family.
Mm-hmm. Within our family. You're absolutely right. We were talking on Christmas Eve night that we could hear Miles, my grandson, telling his children about how his mother consistently at every dinner repeated over and over and over, take your elbow off the table. And we were laughing about it. But when I think about it and I hear you talking about your grandmother, he will tell that story. He will tell that story to his children. Like, I usually tell the story about how I hated it when my mother would tell me, well, Papa said this, and Papa wouldn't let you do this. I used to think Papa must have been a crazy man. But now that I am older and an adult, Papa was a very dignified, very stern but dignified and proud black man living in a time where proud black men were not allowed to exist. And that was my mother's father. And I think about all of the stories that my father tells about how he grew up poor and why it was important for him to understand that the only way you come out of poverty is hard work and self-determination. There you go, Kujijakalia. And when I celebrated, after years of celebrating Kwanzaa with my parents before they died, my father really loved the concept of Kujijakalia, because he had lived that. And those are the kinds of stories that I try to tell my grandchildren about how you come to some of the meaning. You know, I have a friend who lives in Wichita, and her name is Makayla Thomas. And she wrote a piece for Kwanzaa. And I'd like to share that with our audience. Our number is 347-838-9852. If you would like to remember your ancestors, the people who have made family important to you, the people who made the way for you to be where you are, our number is 347-838-9852. And one of the things that Makayla Thomas wrote is, Kwanzaa is the chance for our family, whose religious, spiritual, political, and secular beliefs are as diverse as those who are reading this note, to come together around one significant belief that we all do share, that unity begins in the family, and that without that, we cannot begin to hope for the type of unity that will make a difference in the community and world we share. Throughout the year, we may have differences of opinions, contradictory ideas about what is best for our individual families, or even how we should best relate to each other. That which keeps us solid, though, is a sense of Nia, purpose instilled in us by our patriarch and instilled in him by his parents before him and their parents before them. The understanding and agreement that unless we are able to build together Ujamaa, cooperative economics, as individuals as individual families making up our larger family, and as a community, we are without foundation, without the necessary tools, support, and Kuumba creativity to ever counter the damage that has been done to our families and communities since our forced sojourn into this country, and which keeps knocking on our doors today. The one profound truth that keeps coming home is that we need each other. So as the holiday, Kwanzaa holiday begins, if we've forgotten, we are reminded. We put aside our differences and light the candles. We, adults and children alike, reflect upon each of the seven principles, reviewing if and how we've manifested each principle in the year that is closing, and recommitting to a fuller manifestation in the year beginning. We reflect on who we are, from where we've come, and our vision for what can be, what will be. If we remain committed and focused on restoring our family and our community to the fullness of all the potential that the divine birthed in each of us, we recommit to being beacons that shine a light on all that is good in our family and the world, and all that is worthwhile in our family and the world, and all that is possible for us to achieve. If we ever, never forget who we are, from where we've come, and our vision of what will be for our family, for our community, and for our world, at the end of each day, we shout for the entire world to hear, Harambe, let's pull together. Because we don't know what the new year will bring, but we will have Imani, faith, in knowing that our best way through is to keep pulling together. I thought that was the most just absolutely powerful statement that I have heard in the 29 years that I have been celebrating Kwanzaa. And I am going to post that at ourcommonground-talk.ning.com if you would like a copy of it. It was written by Maskela Thomas, Why Our Family Celebrates Kwanzaa, and it is powerful. It is so powerful, where she weaves in all of the concepts of Kwanzaa. We've got about a half an hour left in the show, and one of the things that we want to do is we're going to take a break, and then we'll take your calls at 347-838-9852, is to talk about how the Nguza Saba works and some more history about it. But we also want to talk about how these principles, how this celebration can shore us up for the fight that we know that we're going to have politically over the next 2 years. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Our Common Ground, talk that matters, speaking truth to power and ourselves. Thank you for being with us tonight.
is our common ground.
Origami, Umoja, Harambe. Welcome to the 2010 Kwanzaa Karamu at Our Common Ground. Is an African-American celebration of cultural reaffirmation. It is a spiritual, festive, and joyous celebration of the oneness and goodness of life, which claims no ties to any religion. Kwanzaa means first fruits of the harvest, and we celebrate it December 26th to January 1st, basing it on the celebrations of seven guiding principles, the Inguza Saba, Habari Gani. This is our common ground.
Welcome again, Habari Gani, Umoja, Harambe. Alpha, you think that people don't have Kwanzaa stories, and that's why we're not getting any calls at 347-838-9852. This board is awfully silent tonight.
Dennis, I don't believe that they don't have stories. This is an unfamiliar process for a lot of African Americans in this country. I saw on that site where between 18 million and 20 million people around the world celebrate Kwanzaa. And if you stack that up against however many billion people there are in the world, we can come to understand, you know, just how easy it is to become detached from your history. And I think Kwanzaa in and of itself will go a long way to teach the African-American community about their history. And just like people speak about their past and what they value that they've, you know, from their past, the stories, the experiences, then they're more able to relate to just the things that they would like to express. And, you know, when folks may have reservations, you know, I have reservations about certain things, but who I am and where I come from and how I managed to get where I am is not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's about not willing to share their experience. I just think that sometimes it's a little difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got one call that just came up, 248 Habari Ghani. And welcome to Our Common Ground, Karamu.
Habari Ghani, thank you so much for welcoming me.
The Voxar. Hotep, it's so good to hear from you. Had a great show tonight. Thank you for your work at Blog Talk Radio.
How are you doing, Habari?
Awesome. Hi, Alpha. How are you?
Just wonderful. Just wonderful.
Millions is resting on the couch.
Now here I thought the dog catcher got him.
I had to get that in there. OCG, I wanted to say, well, first of all, thank you so much for having this. It's very educational and very knowledgeable information. I've been taking notes. I wrote down Kwanzaa 101. So that's how I feel about it so far. I wanted to say when my daughter was, she wasn't quite two, and I wanted her to start school at an early age, but the school system doesn't allow them to go that early. So I decided I would make a little sacrifice and put her into private school, and I thought at the time that I would get the cooperation of her father, but that didn't work out. So I did it on my own for as long as I could afford it, and I ended up putting her into a private school that taught, it was called, I can't think of the word right now, but Swahili. They were teaching Swahili there. And as mm-hmm. a result of her being there before she was 2 years old, she had an opportunity to learn a little bit about Kwanzaa and Swahili. But financial reasons, I had to pull her out. And that was basically the first time I really had some knowledge about Kwanzaa. As far as the ancestors, you know, sad to say, I've never had an opportunity to meet either of my grandfathers on my father's side or my mother's side. So from there back, I have no knowledge. The only one that I had some information about is my grandfather on my grandmother's side, on my mother's side. And he was a seaman, so he was always gone. So I think that's maybe the reason why we never got a chance to meet him. My sister did, but I didn't. So I have no knowledge of grandfathers. But they're
I doubt it that you have no knowledge.
No, I've never seen them or met them that I can remember.
But you know stories about them, right?
Only that one. And the only reason why I learned that was from my sister.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I have no knowledge of my grandfathers. My grandmother, I've had an opportunity to meet my mother's mother, my father's mother, and I had an opportunity to meet my grandmother's mother. And that's as far back as I remember. So I know
but in your family, they told stories about, like, I've never met any of my grandfathers. The one grandfather that was living after I was born,
mm-hmm.
he died when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
But from your parents, you heard stories about them.
Not my grandfather on my father's side. I haven't heard any
mm-hmm.
stories about him. Or I haven't heard, like I said, the only story I heard about my mother's father was the one my sister told me about him being a seaman.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that was it, yeah. That's the
but,
part.
Yeah, how many black children knew about, I mean, if you didn't know that, would you have known that black people were actually seamen?
Pardon me?
If you had not heard that story about your grandfather, would you have understood that black people were seamen?
If I read it in a book or if I heard it from someone else, that would
yeah,
be the only way.
Yeah, but what book would you have read it in?
Well, I don't know.
That,
I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying maybe I would have read it.
But what I'm saying is that when we pass on stories, when we acknowledge and honor our ancestors
mm-hmm.
by making their lives real in the lives of our children and in our families, when we keep them alive, their stories, their history, what we do is we are offering them opportunities. Like I grew up with an uncle who was a merchant marine,
mm-hmm.
and he would be in all kinds of places. And his wife, my aunt, would tell us stories about where he was, where he's been, and that gave us a sense of, well, black people really do go all over the world. You know, when
mm-hmm.
he would come home, he would tell us about the people that he was on the ship with, and he would tell us about the food. And man, when he would talk about stories of going on the coast of Africa, I was just enthralled. As a matter of fact, I talked with his son today, and we were calling his name. So that's how we learn those things, because
right.
our history books have not really told our stories.
Right.
You know, like when I was in the eighth grade, there was a history book on the city of West Palm Beach, and it had my grandfather's name in it, and it just had like a little blurb, little tiny blurb. But I was just, I was so proud of that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that
right.
Kwanzaa gives us the opportunity to really dedicate ourselves to swapping stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like one of the stories that we swap all the time is that my grandfather was in, my mother's father was in real estate, and he was well-to-do for a black man. And when the city of West Palm Beach ran out of money, they had no money. He was one of the people that they borrowed money from.
Right.
And he required that they pave some of the streets in the black community of West Palm Beach in order to get a loan from him, a loan that the city never paid back.
Mm.
And that's history, a history that will never be told unless we tell it. And
right.
I say to my cousins, all of us, that we've heard these stories, that we should be writing history books.
Right.
For all the things that we know. Otherwise, those stories will get lost. That history will get lost.
Right. You're absolutely right, CG. And that's why I'm enjoying your program, because it's giving me, you know, an opportunity to think about those things, you know, and making sure that I give Kahe all the education that I can about our family.
Mhm.
So I appreciate your program and the time that you're putting into it.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate Alpha and I appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
We really do. And I am posting the piece that I was that I was reading from, Why Our Families Celebrate Kwanzaa, by Michaela Thomas, because I think it is so important for every one of us to understand how this holiday can empower us, how we can simply be empowered by dedicating and connecting and committing ourselves to each other. You know, one of the ways in which I hang on to the hope and the change and the yes, we can, because it really resonates, the seven principles. This man really resonated for me, the seven principles. So I hope you're having a great holiday, you and millions.
Oh, no. Yes, we are.
Oh, no.
As a matter of fact, before I forget, let me let Alpha know that this time of year is the time he spends with his aunt, and he gets Christmas presents, and his birthday is tomorrow, so he's got a birthday gift that he's got to go and enjoy, and he's already had his bath, and I have to keep his feet clean every time he comes in here because she's going to come pick him up to celebrate his birthday. So he's got it made. Alpha, I think he's in a better position than you are.
Prince, when you need him.
Pardon me, Alpha.
He should be pulling the Grinch and the sleigh.
You will see all the pictures on his Facebook. Thank you.
And
OCC.
The Voxar. I played that Nina Freelon singing "Lift Every Voice" with her son's hip hop group, The Beast. Because I remembered last week you said you enjoyed the small portion that I played last week.
Okay.
So that was your Kwanzaa gift. See, Kuumba, creativity. I mean, when we celebrate our artists and our musicians, when we celebrate them, when we honor them, like, I was so glad. I don't know if anybody in our audience saw the New York Times column by Hebert on yesterday, where he was celebrating the genius and the talents and skills of Aretha Franklin. Here we are, from slavery to a place where a major international newspaper, which is the New York Times, is celebrating one of our own.
And before I forget, now, I'm glad you mentioned that our prayers go out to Aretha Franklin. She needs all the prayers.
Absolutely. 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 And we do want to ask everyone to remember, in whatever way you pray, Sister Marpessa and Jamal Ali, one of the people that ancestors that I want to call on is one that has transitioned this year, Margaret Burroughs. I mean, if you think about who we have lost this year, Dorothy Heights, Abby Lincoln, Lena Horne. Thank you, Navoxar, for your call.
You're quite welcome.
Alpha, if you think about who are our new ancestors, Reverend Lucius Walker, Chalmers Johnson, Dr. Dorothy Height, Dr. Ronald Walters, Guru, the hip hop singer, or rap singer, however you want to call him, Ali Woodson of the Temptations. All new ancestors, James Moody, Solomon Burke, they're all new ancestors, people who have done those things that make us proud. Alpha is reporting that the link that I shared for Why Our Families Celebrate Kwanzaa by, I think it's because she's on Facebook and you have to be her friend or something, But it is for those of you who would like to see this very, very powerful understanding of this holiday season by Maskela Thomas. And she sent it to me on Friday, December 24th. I will post it at Our Common Ground talk.ning.com following this broadcast, and you can pick it up from there. And please give her credit if you are going to share it. So we will do that. Alpha, we've just got about 8 minutes on this broadcast, and we're going to go out on something that's going to I think draw us, but I'm really hoping that people will continue to celebrate in this Kwanzaa season. Tomorrow night you'll be celebrating Kujijakalia, which means self-determination, and the night after Ujima. It's the third day of Kwanzaa, and it means collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics, and it's the fourth day of Kwanzaa. And on that day, as a people, we pledge to develop our own businesses and to support them and to maintain shops and stores and industry that contribute to the well-being of our community and to drive out businesses, boycott, that take from our communities and give nothing back. That's very important. Then on the fifth day of Kwanzaa, we celebrate Nia, and it means purpose. And on that day, we pledge to build and develop our communities, to understand our purpose in our communities, focusing on our schools and our families, and pledging to provide a strong communal foundation from which our children can develop into strong and productive people. And on the sixth day of Kwanzaa, we celebrate Kuumba, and it means creativity. We pledge to use our creative talents and energies to improve young minds and hearts, to do whatever we can to make our communities and homes more beautiful and better than when we found them. And on the last day of Kwanzaa, the day of Imani, and Imani means faith. On this day, the beginning of the new year, we pledge to believe with all our hearts and our minds in our people, our parents, our good and dedicated teachers and leaders, and in the greater good of the work we do with and for one another, for the community, and for our people. We hope that you will continue to celebrate in that vein, in the vein of the Nguza Saba. Alpha, do I need to send you a Kanara?
Not necessarily.
But, you know, it's really interesting. With all this talk about Kwanzaa, last week, we went to three stores. I like to use the candles, the leftover candles, but this year we had to buy new candles because the candles were just, like, worn out or something. They look worn out. Tara said they look gross. But we had to go to three stores in order to get candles for our Kanara, which is the candlestick holder that we use in Kwanzaa, and I am so proud of my Kanara. I call it my Kanara because, I mean, if we had a fire, I would be looking for my photo albums and my Kanara. I have had it for a little over 20 years, and it was handmade for me by the Brothers of the African Movement in Miami. They gave it to me as a gift. They had it handmade. It's made out of wood that actually comes from Ghana. And they handmade it, and on one side it says Kwanzaa. On the other side it says the Nguza Saba, and it's carved into the wood. And underneath it says, from the brothers of the African movement of Miami to Janice the Truth Graham, with our love. Now, I really honor that. And the brothers of the African movement are African conscious brothers who are members of the police department and the fire department in Dade County, Florida. It's an organization that they formed many, many years ago. And I was a speaker at one of their Kwanzaa celebrations many, many years ago, and they presented it with me, and I absolutely love it. We wish all of you a very, very happy, rich, empowering Kwanzaa season. Kwanzaa is the chance for our family. And at the end of each day, we must shout for the entire world to hear Harambe. We must pull together because we don't know what the new year will bring, but we must have the principles of the Nguza Saba in our hearts, and that is our best way to keep pulling together and to keep being together and finding the power within. Alpha, thank you so very much. It's been a wonderful year. I love you, my brother.
Thank you very much.
I wish you all the best in this new year.
Thank you.
And for those of our listeners, we thank you so much for your support and how you have honored this program. And we look forward to bringing you the best of Black minds and ideas. We will be back here on January 8th with Nina Freelarn. And with a very special guest, and we hope that you'll sign up for our newsletter so that you can get our newsletter. Habari Gani, Abori Gani, Hotep, and power to our people. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you, Alpha, my co-host. Thanks to all of our listeners tonight. We wish you the richness and the treasure and the wealth of a wonderful 2010 Kwanzaa season.